your friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Of all the horrible things the devil has done to us, has done to the human race, all the disease and the pain and the death and the guilt and the sin that he's made us suffer, By far, the worst is his making us deaf to God's word and silent in God's praises. This was the dignity of man. It was our honor from the beginning. It's what raised us far above the beasts and made us sons of God, the envy of angels, that God created us in his image and spoke to us and we to him. It was that we heard God's word, understood him, delighted in him, wanted to learn more and more from him, and so loved him and spoke to him as a dear child speaks to his dear father. This was our nature, and it was our happiness, and this is what the devil robbed us of. So when Jesus heals the deaf mute, says the deaf man with a speech impediment, he can't talk, that's the point there. When he heals the deaf mute, it is a sign of what he's come to do for you. Now, he really healed that deaf and mute man in his body. But at the same time, he gave a picture of what he does for you in your soul. And Jesus does this very often. What he does becomes a sign. He healed a blind man once, a man born blind in Jerusalem, by spitting in the dust and making mud and then putting it on the man's eyes and then having him wash in the pool of Siloam. And when Jesus finally meets this man again, this man who can see now, and he sees Jesus and hears his word and believes, Jesus says to him, "For judgment I have come into the world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may be blind." So Jesus makes this blind man an object lesson. You see what I did for him. You see what I did for his body. This is what I've come to do for you, for your soul. He sees me and recognizes me as his Lord. Open your eyes now. Look at me and believe. And he does the same thing here with the deaf mute. Look at him and see what Jesus does for you. So look. Look and see. See that Jesus is more than eager to help this man. He's drawn to the man by his friends who pray for him and plead for him. So you don't ever think that your prayers aren't heard by the Lord Jesus. He's eager to answer them, especially when you're praying for those you love whose ears are deaf to God's word and who don't confess him with their mouths. So pray for them and pray for them often. The Lord hears. And he collects your tears in his bottle, and each one is precious to him. He has come to make the deaf hear, and he has come to make the mute speak. So pray for it, make your will, and wait for his answer. But know also that your Lord uses means. That is, he uses stuff to save people. He did it with the blind man. He used mud and spit to give him sight. And he does it with the deaf mute too. He uses means. He puts his fingers into the man's ears and spits and then touches the man's tongue. And then he speaks a word, "Ephphatha, be opened." And he could have just thought it. He is God after all. He could have just willed it, nodded it, and it would have been done. But that's not how he works. Recognize the way of your Lord Jesus, how he works. Jesus scolds the Pharisees for being able to tell by the signs in the sky whether rain is coming, and yet they don't know the signs of God's kingdom. So you who are in God's kingdom know how your Lord works and how he comes to you. Look and see that he works through means, through stuff. Don't look for some great sign, some miracle coming down from heaven. Don't expect that amazing spiritual experience that your feelings think is necessary. Keep your eyes on Jesus, the one who was crucified for you. Look at the one who gave the sign of Jonah by spending 3 days dead in the earth and then rising again the third. See what he says. See how he works. Because he's not interested in spectacular displays. He's no magician, and his church is no carnival. He says, go and baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Lock your eyes on that and see the power of your baptism, that it gives you the name of God himself and the right to call on him as your Father. And he says, take, eat. This is my body. He says, drink of it. This is my blood that is shed for the forgiveness of your sins. And the body that bled to wash your sins away, that crushed the devil, that buried death in the grave, gives you the life of the conqueror himself. He says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And the words that he speaks to your ears are the words of eternal life. He works through means, and you have the means. You have the power of God for salvation. You have Jesus working miracles right in front of you. And he's just as eager now as he was then to open ears and to loose tongues and to restore you again to the former glory lost in the garden. Look and see that Jesus groans. The translation says sighs. It's a horrible translation. It's translated groans in every other instance, and that's what it means. The Greek is stenazdo. You can even tell by the word that it means groan. Look and see that Jesus groans. He isn't far away from us. He isn't unfeeling and unknowing of our pains. No, they pain him. He hates what the devil has done to us. He takes it personally. He sees this man who cannot hear and cannot speak, and it hurts him. He groans. It is the spiritual condition, far more than the bodily, that pains Jesus. The devil has robbed this man of hearing Jesus' word and confessing Jesus' name, robbed him of what makes him a man, a human being, robbed him of God's image. Now, this last week, I lost my voice. I couldn't talk, just beyond a whisper. And that had never happened to me before. I couldn't sing, and it meant a very depressing change at my home. Because I couldn't discipline my kids and keep order in my house like God tells me to. Try keeping a 3-year-old or a 1-year-old in line with no voice. It's very hard. I couldn't read the Bible to my kids. I couldn't lead the prayers at home. I couldn't even come close to leading them in singing hymns. I think I still can't do that. I had to delegate it all to my wife and my older kids. And it changed everything at home. It was strange. It got me thinking of how much worse the spiritual loss would be than the bodily loss. Not just not being able to talk, but not wanting from the heart to talk to God. That I wouldn't want to lead my home and discipline my children and teach them to be respectful and to love one another as God has loved them. That I wouldn't want to read God's word to my children or discuss how to live the Christian life. That I wouldn't want to lead them in prayer or sing hymns with them. I was robbed only of my voice, a bodily affliction, and that was bad enough. But to lose my zeal to be and act like a Christian father and a Christian man, that would be to lose the very essence of life itself. And that's what Jesus groaned over. That's what pained him. What the devil robs people of in their very soul. It's why Jesus says, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and yet loses his soul? The zeal to love his God and believe in Jesus. What Jesus gives to that deaf mute bodily, he gives to you spiritually. He gives you a zeal to hear his word and confess his name. This is the restoration of paradise itself. It is man talking with God and God with man. And when that zeal is waning in your life, and when you grow tired and lazy, and when you descend into thinking life really is only about food and clothing, that you are no more precious than the birds of the air, that life consists merely in eating and drinking and working and playing and watching a screen, when you are losing the zeal to read God's word and to live the Christian life and to fight against sin, and to pray to the Lord who bought you by his blood, then look again to your Lord Jesus and see that Jesus' word recall you, because you are far more precious than this. Remember your baptism, that God named you his child and you pledged to live like his child. Remember again the joy of receiving Jesus' body and blood, and thirst for it again. Ah, how hungers all my spirit for the love I do not merit. Let Jesus cast the devil out and open your ears again and loosen your tongue to be what God created you to be. The word of your Savior is no less powerful now than it was then. Look again at the groan of your Lord Jesus. He groans and cries out for you from the cross of his passion. Every pain and every sin the devil cast on you that you've participated in, that would drag you down to hell, that has closed your eyes to God and burdened your tongue with words unworthy of you or your Maker, Jesus bears them on the cross. And he groans and he cries out to his Father, and his Father listens. He sees the love of his Son, who takes your place and restores to you not just your body, but your soul and your standing with God. I never will forget this crying. In faith, I'll trust it all my days. And when o'er all my sins I'm sighing, into the Father's heart I'll gaze. For there is always to be found free mercy without end and bound. Look and see how everyone reacts to Jesus' work. They marvel, they're astounded. They're so happy. They talk about it. Jesus tells them not to talk about it, and they disobey him. And then he tells them again, and they disobey again. They have to confess. With the heart you believe unto righteousness, and with the mouth you confess unto salvation. Now, they don't mean to disobey their Lord. At least I don't think they do. Jesus often tells people not to talk of his miracles, but no one ever obeys him. It doesn't happen. And he never gets mad at them. He doesn't strike them down with a thunderbolt. It's like me telling my kids not to sing so loud, to blend with the other voices. When they disobey, they sing too loud. And I'm not mad. How could I be? It's wonderful. But Jesus doesn't tell us to keep quiet. He doesn't say, hush, hush. No, once he has gone to that cross, once he has suffered and died and risen again, he gives free rein. He sends his Holy Spirit for the task to be as loud in our confession as our little hearts can manage. Now, this isn't a call to all of you to the ministry. It's a call to live the Christian life, to confess the Lord Jesus at home, to realize the treasure that you have, that you are children of God and have free access by Jesus' blood to the very heart of your Father. The LCMS, that's the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, that's the synod that we belong to. It's the conservative Lutheran synod, at least one of them. Now, they just released a survey that the LCMS totally didn't need to do. It's typical of bureaucracies. They could have just asked me, and it would have saved them the money. I would have taken a little bit of money, too, like 10% of what they spent. Or better yet, ask Jesus or consult common sense. They determined in this survey that those who talk about Jesus at home and read the Bible regularly, and sing hymns, and have devotions, they stay in the church. And their children stay in the church at a ridiculously high rate. You fathers and mothers who are still raising children, you don't need a survey to tell you this. Confess your Lord Jesus at home. Send your children to Sunday school and to Mount Hope Lutheran School to hear God's word every single day. And then never use that as an excuse not to talk about Jesus at home and pray and praise and give thanks at home. Because that's where Jesus belongs, here at church and at home and on your lips constantly. And if you don't have kids at home, that doesn't matter at all. It doesn't change a thing. We are all children of God, and what they need, we need. The finger of Jesus, the finger of God, the Holy Spirit himself, has opened your ears. The body and blood of Jesus has touched your tongue and loosened it. So you can sing, Satan, you wicked one, own now your master. Jesus has come. He, the mighty Redeemer. In the name of Jesus, amen. We stand.